The next tshuva that we're discussing comes from the fourth volume of Shelot HaTshuvos MiMa'amakim, Shela Chaf Aleph. And the tshuva begins with Rav Ashri describing how the Nazis not only had a goal of wiping out the Jewish people, but also destroying all the Mekomos HaKadoshim, the Bate Knessios, the Bate Midrashos, Yeshivos. And also, he says, V'shalach be'esh la'ava givilei kodesh. They also destroyed all the holy parchment, Sifrei Torah, Dibros Kel, Mito Kavon, Lisrov Das Eish, V'chukim Nisunim Lana be'esh, that they had intention of destroying all the articles, all the items that that represent kedusha for us, and he said describes that after the Holocaust had passed and they were liberated, so they went back to various different places, to yeshivos, to Bate Knessios, Bate Midrashos, to their homes, and they found that they had made a concerted effort to destroy these things. Says the following: the av v'ka'av libenu limara habizayon hagadosh nahagu hagermanim harurim umarehem mishrasehem osei dvaram halitaim. The Germans and the Lithuanians had perpetrated this horrible bizayon degradation. The sifrei Torah sheshadudu mibatei knessios, they had taken away the sifrei Torah from the shuls. Mirios hasvarim emasu minalim minalim leraglehem, they made shoes from the parchment of the svarim and other kinds of bizayon. And bimakom niyar hayu kiros ha ikarim bekfari lita mibakim givilei sifrei Torah v'shemos kodesh yisgolu berosh chutzos v'chavku hashpasos. He says that they used to use parts of the parchment and the pages. Basically, it sounds like almost as wallpaper. And these articles of Kedusha and these Svarim, etc., were cast away in all kinds of places where there was garbage. So a person came to Rav Ashri and asked the following question. This individual, he said, was a descendant of the Vilna Gaon. They had in the family a Sefer Torah that actually was owned by the Vilna Gaon. A Sefer Torah, imagine for a moment, a Sefer Torah that was actually owned by the Vilna Gaon. And this Sefer Torah was kept, obviously, with a tremendous care by the family. And when the at the onset of the Holocaust, when they saw that things were getting very bad, so they hid it in the Kovno ghetto. After the liberation took place, they went back, and they found that it had been torn into shreds. And that the Germans had gone in and had destroyed the Sefer Torah. Now, what he wanted to know, this individual, is can he keep the remnants of the Sefer Torah in his home in order to, number one, to be to serve as a remembrance of the Yerusha that had been in the family, that they always kept the Sefer Torah, and also as a zecher for the family, that this destroyed Sefer Torah would be a remembrance, in a sense, for to represent the family that had been wiped out as well. Or does he have to bury it? So Rav Ashri turns to the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis, where the Gemara talks about various different types of items which are used for mitzvos, or for that have innate kedusha. The Gemara makes a distinction between tashmishi mitzvah. Tashmishi mitzvah means, like, for example, an article like a lulav or a shofar or kibitzitzis that serve a purpose for mitzvah, but they don't have what we call innate kedusha because there's no Torah written on them, as opposed to tefillin and mezuzahs and sefer Torah. Those are called tashmishi kedusha. Those are called the item itself is considered to be guf kedusha, and there are items which are called tashmishi kedusha, and the halacha is in regard to the items with the heightened level of kedusha, like for example sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzos, that you actually have to bury them. It's a very important halacha that often people are not aware of, that you have to bury them, and you have to bury them in a stricter kind of way than what we generally refer to as geniza or shemos. In regard to, let's say, for example, a contemporary sefer, or a siddur, or other kinds of items that have a level of kedusha, we can put it into a plastic bag or a paper bag, and then afterwards it gets buried. But in regard to the Sifrei Torah, Tefillin Mezuzos, it says in the Gemara that you have to put it into a Kli Cheres and you bury it by a Talmud Chacham. But the reason you put it into a Kli Cheres, into an earthenware vessel, which is sealed, is in order to try to keep the to try to maintain it and to preserve it for as long a period of time as possible. So in any case, in regard to a Sefer Torah, which is destroyed in this fashion, so lichora, that is the halacha, that you have to put it into a Kli Cheres. He has a discussion about whether it has to be Kli Cheres, whether some poskim mentioned that maybe it can be something else as well, maybe it can be made out of wood. There's a dispute in regard to that. There's some poskim who at times, apparently they had a lot of these shemos that had to be buried in Kli Cheres, and sometimes they had discussions as to whether it was possible to be makil in regard to this, and to bury it in other kinds of items, because to have these kinds of Kli Cheres, you know, these earthenware vessels that are sealed, obviously would not be, it was not something which was so accessible. So in any case, there were some discussions in regard to this. Now then he says, in regard to a Sefer Torah, the custom is, in many communities, in many shuls, that they would not bury the Sefer Torah in the ground, but rather they would keep it in the Aron. One of the reasons that Rav Ashri notes in regard to this is because sometimes there would be a rios, there would be a segment of the Sefer Torah which would still be kosher. So they wouldn't want to bury it because parts of the Sefer Torah still have, you know, full kedusha and still have not been ruined. So therefore, because of that, he says it's the reason why they would specifically put the Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah, even if it was possible and could not be fixed, they would keep it in the Aron rather than burying it. But then Rav Ashri, after discussing this, points out that in fact, maybe lechatchila this might be a route to go. In other words, not to bury it, but to preserve it, to put it in some location. For example, the Gemara in Sota on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph that refers to the geniza of a megillah, and there Rashi explains that they would hide the megillah b'tzidei haheichal, on the side of the heichal. So here you see that apparently this was considered to be a conventional and maybe more appropriate way of burying something, rather than burying it in the ground in a Kli Cheres. It would be placed in some location where it would be given continuous kavod. And in fact, the Aruch HaShulchan mentions this, and in later Sforim they also point this out, that the Aruch HaShulchan says that when it says you're supposed to bury it in the ground, it doesn't mean that's the optimal way to, in regard to the Sefer Torah, it's the optimal way to address the Sefer Torah, which is puzzle or ruined. But rather, that's the permissible way and the appropriate way. But nonetheless, it's even better if the Geniza would take place, as we mentioned before, in the Beis HaKnesses, for example, in the Aron, or some other kind of location. And therefore, especially in light of that, Rav Ashri says that this is certainly very appropriate. The whole point over here is to give cover to the Sefer Torah. And we have sources already that tell us that maybe, you know, keeping it in a location where it's going to be guarded, not necessarily buried, might be an added and higher level of kavod. And therefore, he says that where they want to give kavod to the Sefer Torah, they want to demonstrate that this was something which was belonged to the family, and it's supposed to represent, you know, the Mesorah within the family. They have this Sefer Torah which they had all the time from away from, that was passed on from the Vilna Gaon and onwards, because certainly this gives greater cover to the Sefer Torah, and therefore they could keep it in their home. He says, "Bivada izui ha-geniza hachi ru'uya lehem." This is the most appropriate geniza that could be done. And he says, however, of course, that it should be put in an appropriate place in the home. It shouldn't be put in a room in which anybody is going to sleep. So, you know, to demonstrate that this is a certain element of kavod has to be given to the remnants of the Sefer Torah. And the Rav Ashri says that this is, in fact, what should be done. This is interesting because it also is relevant to, you know, many communities would have genizos, would have places like an attic of a shul where they would put shemos. And this is in light, this is, some posts can point out that this is, this is a based upon what Rav Ashri presents in his tshuva here, that sometimes that's a more bekavadik, a more honorable and dignified way of addressing shemos, and certainly in regard to Sifrei Torah. So this tshuva here presents, you know, a glimpse into the churban, this Sefer Torah, which literally belonged to the Vilna Gaon. It's destroyed during the time of the Holocaust. That's representative of a spiritual churban that the Nazis wanted to perpetrate against Klal Yisrael. And this individual, in trying to preserve this Sefer Torah and to try to demonstrate, you know, the ongoing connection to the Sefer Torah, which was passed down in the family, it's representative of the resilience of Klal Yisrael and the determination to hold on to the Torah and to strengthen our connection to the Torah despite all the suffering.